Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the what, church? And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. I like this verse right here. For with God, say it with me, church, nothing shall be impossible. Let's read that again. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now put yourself in Mary's shoes this morning. I know there's men and women in here, but let me tell you something. I know that God's never going to do this again. We can pretty much rest assured that's never going to happen. But this morning, I want you to think about who Mary was, what she was, where she was, and then put yourself kind of in her shoes as just somebody that's just doing right, that's just walking along, trying to serve the Lord, and all of a sudden God sends an angel to you, or God comes to you firsthand and says, look, this is what I want you to do. Could you imagine Mary, a spouse, not married yet, she was committed to Joseph, she was going to be married to him, and an angel comes to her and says, look, you found favor of the Lord, and you're going to conceive. And she says, well, how on earth is this possible? Now, she had never been with a man before. She understood that, in theory, this just was not a possibility. Amen? But an angel said, look, you're going to conceive, and not only are you going to conceive, I'm going to tell you that it's going to be the Holy Spirit that you're going to conceive by, and you're going to carry God's only begotten Son, Jesus, in your womb. So not only are you going to conceive, I'm going to tell you what you're going to name the baby. Now imagine that, moms, carrying your babies for 9 months, and someone else just swoops in and says, hey, you don't get to choose the name. I'm going to choose the name. How would you feel? I could imagine, just like any other mother, no doubt her pregnancy was 9 months long or somewhere in thereabout. She carried this baby. She probably, like most mothers do, felt the baby kicking inside of her. All this stuff really did happen. This was not a fairy tale that a virgin birthed our only begotten Son, Jesus. Listen, had it not been a virgin, it would not have been pure. Y'all okay? It had to be a virgin. But some things I want to see this morning. Number one, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. The angel was sent to a certain city, to a certain virgin woman. The angel had a very specific message to deliver. Look in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Can I say this? If God sends someone your way, or if God ever comes your way and sends a clear message, and you can open that message up, look in the Bible, back that message up, that this must be a God thing. Listen, make no mistake, God sends the message, God is going to be a part of it. Amen? God didn't send that Gabriel down there to Mary and say, look, send down there, we're going to ruin her life, we're going to make her look silly, all the people in the town are going to make fun of her, Joseph's not going to believe her. No, no, no. See, God had another angel taking care of Joseph. You remember that? See, God was a part of the whole thing. Amen? And in reality, Mary should have been stoned to death because she committed a what? Adultery. But that did not happen. That never happened. God took care of all this thing. If God ever sends you a message and you can prove 100% God backed it up in His Word and you know it's from God, please rest assured, it might be confusing. And listen, we're going to see here in a minute, she was confused. Very confused. And rightfully so. But know this, God will come through. Amen? You might not know why. You might not know why He chose you, but it doesn't matter. He'll never choose you to do anything that He's not going to carry you and make you capable of doing. Amen? God is never going to ask you to do something that He has not already made a way for you to do. So we had an angel sent from God. The angel was sent to a certain city. Imagine if Gabriel would have said, God, you know, I know you want me to go there to that city, Nazareth, in Galilee, but God, I think there's some better options over here. See, look, Jesus had to come from the seed of David. We can trace that all the way back to the Old Testament. But look, God had Mary picked out for a very specific reason. And he told Gabriel, go to this very specific place and deliver this message to this young lady. The angel had a very specific message. What was this message? Look in verse 28. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Can I say this morning, listen, if you don't know Jesus this morning, first of all, you can rest assured that God does love you. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But I'm preaching to the Christians there here for just a minute. If you are a Christian this morning, can I say something to you? Thou art highly favored. You know, when I was reading this, I'm thinking, hey, I think this applies to me. And I think I can prove it. This could be anyone. I'm glad because of Jesus, I'm highly favored. Look, I can tell you right now, many of you knew me back in the day growing up, and I wasn't always a preacher. I wasn't always, and honestly, I didn't have a desire to preach until my older teenage years came about, and the Lord started working on my heart about it. And later, when I was probably 21 or 22, I finally committed that I was going to serve the Lord. But I'm telling you, if God could take somebody as wretched and as vile and as unworthy and as rotten as Drew, He could take you and make you highly favored. Listen, Drew, in and of himself, is absolutely nothing. But because of the blood sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross, because of this virgin young lady that was obedient, and she said, okay, God, I'll do it. I trust you, but you're going to have to take care of it. And oh, he did. Aren't you so thankful he did? Because there was some obedience down through the generations, along came a young boy named Drew one day who was born into sin. He was destined for hell. He did not deserve heaven. He did not deserve a Savior. But God, in his love, sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, through a virgin to come live on this earth for 33 and a half years just to die, to be buried, and to be rose again, listen, by his own power. And I, Drew, had a choice that I had to make. I went from not so favored at age 7 and a half. For 2 and a half years, I knew that if I died as a little boy, 7 and a half years old, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that Jesus Christ made a way for me out, and I knew that I was rejecting it. And I knew that I wasn't favored. And it wasn't until 9 years old that at June the 13th at Bauer Memorial Baptist Church at a VBS, I finally raised my hand and I said, I want to talk to the preacher. I need to get this thing nailed down. And Brother Denton opened the Bible and he said, young man, this is how you can become favored. All you have to do is ask God to save you. And that day, that moment, the moment that I believed in my heart and I confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, guess what? I became highly favored. Folks, you this morning, the moment, I don't know, some of you have been saved 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years maybe. Listen, that's how long you've been favored. The moment you chose to believe on the only begotten Son of Jesus, you became highly favored. But oh, we live in a world where people think you're nothing. We listen to lies around us and say, you'll never amount to anything. Serving God's just not worth it. You're wasting your time going to church on Sunday. You could be at home watching the game. You could be at home doing yard work. After all, it's most people's only real day off work. Amen. We could be anywhere else, but you're just wasting your time. No, no, no. You tell them, hey, you have no idea what you're talking about. I'm a highly favored individual because of the blood of Christ, and he deserves all my glory. He deserves all my time. He deserves everything that I have to offer. Folks, we're highly favored this morning. I'll tell you what, that's exciting, isn't it? I'm glad we have a whosoever God. You say, well, what if I'm not highly favored? What if I'm like you at age 7 and a half and I know that I'm without Christ, and I know if I leave this building today and I don't make it back and I don't have another opportunity to ask the Lord to save me? Let me tell you something. You're in a grace age right now. And right now, you still got air in your lungs. You're still breathing. You're still listening to a preacher who's up here trying to warn you that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun that was not created for you. Listen, don't leave today not being highly favored. That's what I'm trying to ask you. Please don't leave today not being highly favored. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Look at Romans chapter number 10. Well, you just don't know, preacher. what you're talking about. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the things I've done. You're right, I don't know the things you've done, but I know we have a God in heaven that died for all sin. And guess what? That included your sin. And all, way back then, by the way, you weren't even thought about, but he still chose to die for your sin. It doesn't matter who you are in life, where you are in life, what you're doing, Jesus Christ is greater than all of your sin. We sing about it, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Aren't you thankful that the grace of God pardoned you out of hell where you deserve to be and cleansed you from all of your sin? If you're saved this morning, say amen. Folks, that's a God we serve. Well, you don't understand. That can't be. Let me prove to you biblically why you're wrong. It can be you. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? That means that I cannot do it for you. That means that you sitting in that pew is not going to get you to heaven if you walk out of there and get in your car and crash head on with somebody. You're going to die and go to hell without Jesus. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess, you have to do it. Daddy can't do it for you. Mama can't do it for you. That promise you're resting on, well, Mom said I prayed a prayer. Don't matter if you don't remember it. It probably isn't real. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things I forget, but I'll never forget the day that I got saved. I'll never forget it. Why? Because it was real. It was a life-changing event. That'd be like me saying I forgot the day that I got married. That'd be like me saying I forgot the day that my children were born. That would be like me saying I forgot the first time I held those babies and looked in their eyes. Listen, you don't forget that stuff. Let me tell you something. If you're born again, you'll know it. There's evidence of it. And let me tell you this. God knows it. You're not going to skip it. It's not going to be like, oh, well, maybe my name will be in the book. Maybe it won't. Folks, listen. It's either in there or it's not. This is just what the Lord gave me to give to you this morning. I'm highly favored. Where do you stand? Listen to this. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, look, here it is now, whosoever believeth on him shall not what, church? For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, the one you're sitting next to in the pew is no better than you. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags unto the Lord. The one you're sitting to the left to, the one you're sitting to the right to, the preacher you're looking at and listening to right now is no better than you. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. Look at this. It says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Folks, listen, you can be highly favored. You have the opportunity to be like Mary and say, thou art highly favored. Oh, but that's just number one. Isn't God good? Back to Luke chapter 1, back to our scripture there. Look what else this specific message endeavored for Mary. Number one, we see we're highly favored, but look, number two, can I say, if you're saved in here today, can I say the Lord is with thee? Look what the angel said. The angel came in unto her, verse 28, and said unto her, hail, thou art highly favored. The very next thing he said is the Lord is what, church? Folks, look, there's been a lot of times in my life where I've been pretty down, and I've been pretty depressed, and I've been pretty out. And I'll be honest, there'd be times I'd go talk to people and it seemed like the people I was talking to just did not want to hear what I had to say. And in my mind, I know that could have been the devil lying to me saying, hey, what's the point in talking to someone about your problem? They don't care. Well, let me tell you something. There is one who cares. There's one that's with me. There's one that's always with me. There's one that's never going to leave me. How can you prove that? I don't feel that. Well, listen, either you're not saved or you just don't believe what the Bible says. Let me show you some evidence. Look at Isaiah chapter number 41. Isaiah chapter 41. We'll try to move through these quickly, but I want you to see again It's not Brother Drew. It's God. The Lord is with thee. I'm thankful today that I know without a doubt the Lord is with me. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Fear thou not." You know the Bible teaches our spirit is not supposed to be what? A spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All the way back in the Old Testament, here's what he said, "Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Folks, we go through lives. There's marriages that go through 50 or 60 years. The woman and the man wish they could get this kind of commitment out of each other. "Fear thou not, I'm with thee. I'm thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Folks, you're never going to find a friend that sticketh closer than a brother like this. "Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends." Listen, why would he forsake someone he died for? You ever think about that? God chose to send Jesus to die for my unrighteousness. Because I was bad, he had to die. Folks, he was sinless. But you know what I like? That I'm highly favored, and I like that he's with me. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6. A couple more verses on this, and then we'll move right along. Deuteronomy 31, 6. I'm just going to read it for sake of time. The Bible says, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Folks, you'll go your whole life looking for a friend like this. Looking for a friend that you can trust. Folks, you can trust a lot of people. Don't get me wrong. Not talking bad about your friends, your husbands. What I'm saying is you're never going to find a friend like this. You're never going to find a friend that not only will not fail you, but he cannot fail you. Folks, he cannot fail you. He cannot not be with you if you are saved. I'm talking to the Christian now. If you're lost, listen. Jesus Christ loves you and wants you to repent. He's only a call away. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's pretty easy. One more scripture, Matthew 28. One more scripture on this point, sorry. Matthew 28. Right here in the Great Commission we have. Matthew 28 and verse 20. The Bible says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo," what does that say, folks? "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Folks, you know there's not a man, woman, boy, or girl that can promise you that. Look, I'm going to tell you this. I love my wife more than I love any other person on this planet. I love my kids more than I love anybody else. But they're not going to be here forever. And if tomorrow I were to wake up, Lord willing this never happens, and she's gone, I lost my best friend on this earth. But I still have a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. I still have a God who's a God on the mountain, and he's the God on the valley, in the valley. Amen? He'll always be with me. Number three, back to our scripture in Luke 1. The angel said unto her, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." But then he said, "Blessed art thou among women." That word blessed means divinely or happily favored. It means fortunate to have or experience something. Folks, can I say as a saved man that I'm blessed? I don't know about you. But when I look back, and I know I've said it before, but look, when I look, I do not deserve what God did for me. You do not deserve what God did for you. I am only up here today as a vessel used unto our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I am. I'm so unworthy to have a good wife that loves the Lord. I'm definitely not worthy to have six kids that are trying to do right and grow up in the heritage that we had. and to be, you know, to marry into a fourth generation Christian. I don't deserve any of that. Folks, none of us do. And I certainly don't deserve to have my sins paid for in the way they were. And if you'd be honest, you'd say the same thing. You didn't deserve what Jesus did for you. But folks, if you got it, you are blessed and you are fortunate to have experienced Jesus Christ. Because many are going to, and can I just say this for a second? I want to talk about this. The Bible says the word blessed, or the Bible doesn't say this. The word blessed means divinely or happily favored, fortunate to have or experience. Now, when I read that definition, Brother Scott, that kind of jumped off the page and was like, hey, think about what you're reading. Here's the deal. Either you have Jesus or you do not. Now, there's a lot of people that have sat in churches and have experienced what the grace of God is like in someone else's life. They've experienced those emotional services. They've seen the tears flow down like rain. They've seen the soul saved. They've experienced the good grace of God, but they don't have God. Can I tell you something? There's a difference. Either you have Him or you don't. I've seen a lot of people experience how good God is, but walk out the doors as lost as they came in here. Folks, you don't have to be that this morning. You can be highly favored. You can rest assured the Lord is with you. And you can be blessed among men and women. Remember how you felt. I want to read verse 29 first. Look at what happened after the angel told her this. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Folks, do you remember the first time someone told you about Jesus? I don't know about you, but in my mind, I could not fathom the thought that someone would do that for me. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, maybe some people get it the first time, and praise the Lord if you did, but I just didn't. I couldn't understand, like, why would he do that? Why? Can you imagine Mary here? She's trying to ponder her thoughts. Well, why would God choose me? Folks, listen, He chose all of us. We are all a chosen generation. He chose each and every one of you. Now, that doesn't mean you're all saved, but listen, He chose to die for all of you. Every single man, woman, boy, or girl has an opportunity to partake and experience and have the grace of God that I'm talking about this morning. When He died, He didn't just die for a chosen few. He chose all of you. He enlightens every man, woman, boy, or girl that walks the planet, and every one of us have an opportunity to choose or to reject. Folks, I know we're beating this thing to death this morning, but listen, if you're lost, you don't have to be. You absolutely don't have to be lost. You couldn't fathom just how someone as unworthy as you could ever attain such favor with a loving God. You think about that, how you went from one second, Brother Scott, you're damned for hell. The next second, you're favored with God. Why? Because of the blood. Because of the blood of Jesus. And see, we often think, well, I've been saved for a while, but I'm just a rotten old nasty person. God don't even want to look my way. Can I tell you something? That's a lie. He don't see you when He looks your way. And you better be thankful for that. He sees Jesus. He sees the blood. And you realize the moment you got saved, you found favor with God, not just because of you, but because of Jesus. Notice one more thing in verse 34. The Bible says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" This is Mary's confusion continued. She's still in a confused state right here. How on earth could God do this with me? Folks, there's a lot of you sitting in the pew right now that God has touched your heart, has spoken to your heart, and given you the ability to do something, told you exactly what He wants you to do with your life, and you sit back like I did for years, and you just ponder the thought, I don't know how God could do this. Listen, you'll never know what God's capable of doing if you don't step out by faith and just give Him your life. And I'm not just talking about getting saved. I'm talking about saved people saying, God, here am I. You know, in the Old Testament, the Bible says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, and I found what? None? How could God look across a whole nation that he called his chosen people and find not one man willing to stand in the gap? Not one. The same way he looks across churches and he begs for people to go knock on doors and invite other people. And he begs for people to get under conviction and go pick up little kids and drive a church bus. And he begs for men and women to volunteer to teach Sunday school. And he begs for men and women to volunteer in programs and to go visit shut-ins and to do this and that. Folks, it's not a one-man operation. It's a unified church. God works through the local New Testament church like that. Each and every one of you, Lord willing, after the first of the year, I'm going to introduce spiritual gifts. And I think it's very important that each of us understand our own spiritual gift. And when we understand that, how can we let God use us in that and be capable of doing what we're able to do through Him? Folks, God is able to do abundantly above and beyond what we could ever ask or think, is what the Bible says. But Mary's confusion, the power of the Holy Ghost of God is the difference. See, it wasn't Mary even being obedient that made the difference in Mary's life. It was the Holy Ghost that came unto her that made the difference in Mary's life. And let me tell you something. It's not the fact that you said, yes, Lord, and you believed in your heart that made the difference for you. Folks, it's the Holy Ghost that you inherited at the time that made the difference within you. And can I say this? It's not you, when you stand before God, that's going to be the reason you went to heaven if you're saved. It's God in heaven who sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for each and every one of us. And either you chose Him or you rejected Him. And when you stand before Him, you're going to be covered by the blood with your name written down in glory, and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or you're going to stand there ashamed. It's up to you. But again, I'm thankful that God doesn't see me when He looks down. Mary was not worthy, but God made her worthy. Amen? God made her worthy. You were not worthy. But thanks be to God, the blood of Jesus has made you worthy. There's a song that goes like this. Looking down through the ages, God beheld a dying soul. Sin had brought separation. Nevermore could man be whole. There must come a Lamb, one whose blood alone redeems, bringing gifts to the Father of our souls made white and clean. The chorus goes like this. And when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. Listen to this. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and He washed me, this I know. Second verse goes like this. Think about what He did. So He left that holy city, traveling on to the cross, just to bridge the gulf to glory and to rescue all the lost. Listen now. By His blood He entered into the throne room of our God, and on the mercy seat He placed it, salvation for us all. Listen, church, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and He washed me, this I know. Miss Tony's going to come to the piano and play a hymn of invitation. Listen, folks, this altar's open this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed. Listen, if the Lord's spoken to you this morning, maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you just need to understand that where you stand in Christ Jesus, the devil's been lying to you. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you, and you are greatly blessed this morning. Folks, listen. The altar's right here. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. I don't want anyone looking around, but look, if you need to do business with the Lord,